Hello again, my name is Steve Elzinga, and I'm going through this pre-marriage coaching class with you. It's one of the badges that you can get for life coaching, a meeting with a couple that wants to get married, working towards the marriage, but also the wedding. And we've been looking at the seven connections that a couple has. This connection is called verbally connected. It's all about communication. Men and women are different when it comes to communication. From the book, The Language of Love by Gary Smalley, a study about the verbal difference between men and women. Now, as I give this study, it's just an average. It's not saying that every man is this way or every woman is this way, but they did a study with, they looked at children, and 100% of the sounds that girls made, they observed them playing, and 100% of the sounds that the girls made were words. The girls used words 100% of the time. 68% of the boys' sounds were words, but 32% of the sounds that boys made were not words, were grunts, were, punching, were, the sound of a car or an airplane zooming around the room. And I have grandchildren, and I can attest to this. The girls have a lot of words, and the boys have a lot of sounds that they make. Another study that was done suggests that the average man speaks 12,500 words per day. A woman, on average, speaks 25,000 words, twice as many words as a man. Now, that isn't always true. Some men are really talkative, and some women are not as talkative. But in general, this is more true. So the problem then for a couple is, if this is true for the average couple, a man goes to work and he ends up using his 12,500 words. And when he comes home, he's sort of done for the day. He's already used his quota. And then the wife is frustrated because he doesn't say much. So whether this is exactly true for every couple or not is neither here nor there. There are differences. There are usually differences between two people, let alone the different sexes. You can have two friends and one says a lot more words than someone else. So communication becomes an issue. Men and women have different speaking styles. And here you want them to start evaluating. So it's all in the book, and there's little check marks so that the woman can go through and check the boxes that apply to her, and the man goes through and checks the box that applies to him. So silent. Are you the silent type? You just don't have a lot to say, or are you a minimalist? You use words, but only when necessary. So when there's a purpose to say something, you say something. When there's no purpose, then you don't just chit-chat. You don't just talk for the sake of talking. Or you could be the kind of person that says it once. You say something once, and you don't like to repeat yourself. I'm that kind of person. When my wife asks me something, if I say something, I like to say it once. I don't want to keep repeating myself over and over and over again. And if I said it once last week, I don't want to say it again this week. And I know that's unfair. The person just wants to hear it again, or they didn't catch it the first time. But I'm just saying that that's my personality. My personality is the kind that wants to just say it once. So it's good for couples to sort of evaluate themselves. What kind of speaking style do you have? Or you might be the average kind of person. You like conversation, you don't mind silence, you like a little bit of both. Or you're the kind of person that goes on and on, can talk to anyone, anytime, any topic, anywhere. You like talking. You don't like silence. So you want the couples to sort of evaluate, where they fit into these categories. Then you want them to start analyzing their listening styles. You know, what kind of listener are you? What kind of listener is she? What kind of listener is he? Are you empathetic? An empathetic listener is someone who feels others' pain and their joy. That they genuinely are listening to someone and their eyes reflect, oh, tell me more about that. Oh, that must be painful. And they literally feel what the other person feels, and the other person feels that they feel it. Very empathetic. Or are you an attentive person? You listen with your whole body. Some people don't listen very well. They don't even look at you. And you can tell within 2 minutes that they're just not listening to the things that you say. And you know that because of some of the questions or the things that they end up saying to you. Or you might be the kind of person that listens just enough to get a topic from which to launch your own talk. So my father was like that. He would ask a question, so how are you? And I would start answering the question. I'd say, well, you know, I've been struggling with this. And then, you know, 30 seconds later, he'd say, yeah, you know, well, I've been struggling. And now he goes on to talk about what he's struggling. He only asked me the question, and he only listened long enough to get the topic that I was bringing up so that he could go on and on about that topic. Is one of the couples, you know, kind of leans in that direction? Or are you the hit or miss kind of listener? Sometimes you listen well and sometimes you don't listen well. So you want the couples to evaluate, you know, individually and each other. Sometimes, you know, as you know, I might analyze myself and say one thing, and then my spouse or my fiance looks at me and goes, well, that's not true. That's what you think of yourself, but that's not how I perceive it. So you want to get them talking about, you know, they're listening and they're talking. What kind of listener are, you know, each one of us? And what kind of a talker are each one of us? And discuss this and, you know, let's check out the differences. Do we agree about this or not? Or you might be a jump to quick conclusion kind of listener. I'm sort of that kind of person. I'm quick to make a judgment about people. I listen enough to get the picture, and now I've got the picture. And I'm not sometimes patient to listen to the whole story. So it's good for, you know, a couple to talk about these things. Okay, so we are different kinds of listeners. We're different kind of talkers. And because of that, sometimes there's conflict in communication. There's a difference between a disagreement and conflict. Disagreement is a difference of opinion. So you can have differences of opinions all the time. You have disagreements all the time. If you're going to be a partner with someone, you're going to have disagreements. You're two different people. If you agree on everything, one of you is not necessary. So you will have disagreements. That's just a different opinion, and you can explore different opinions. A conflict is a disagreement with anger. Okay? Not only do we not see eye to eye, we see things differently, but I'm angry at you because you see something different or you don't understand what I'm trying to say. The anger issue is what makes conflict so painful. Causes of conflict. Number one cause for conflict is people do not feel understood. So if I'm trying to share something, I'm trying to communicate something, and you're not listening well enough to where I feel you understand, then we're ripe for a conflict. You need to listen to me long enough to understand where I'm coming from. You may not agree with me in the end. See, you can have conflicts with people and still be okay with each other if at least you know that the person understands where you're coming from. They don't have to agree with where you're coming from, but at least they understand. All right, causes of conflict. People do not feel understood. And then sometimes people don't feel appreciated. Any partnership, any relationship, there has to be this sense of appreciation. Do I appreciate what my spouse or my fiance does for me, what she contributes to the relationship. If someone's not feeling appreciated because there hasn't been encouragement, there hasn't been a lot of giving thanks and gratitude, and sometimes it's just noticing what the other person does in a relationship. If people don't feel appreciated, then any disagreement, okay, you're going to have disagreements. But disagreements don't necessarily have to be conflicts. They don't have to be filled with anger. So something that you might just naturally have a disagreement about becomes a conflict because there's the appreciation thing that's lacking. So you want to talk about that. How do we appreciate one another? You know, when we have good feelings about one another, when we, trust that the other person appreciates us, then we're more willing to just talk about a disagreement without getting angry about it. Causes of conflict: people do not feel understood, people do not feel appreciated, and finally, people do not feel loved. Okay, if you don't feel loved, then any disagreement is going to lead to trouble. The sense that you are loved regardless of the things that you do or the things that you think or the things that you say. When you come from a place of security, then anger stays at the door. So whenever there's anger in a relationship, you know that there's some fundamental things missing. That someone's not feeling understood, they're not feeling appreciated, and they're not feeling loved. Okay, let's look at some typical conflict management styles. So conflict happens, and it happens with people that love each other. It happens with two people that are engaged to each other, and it certainly happens when people get married and they're living together. Conflict happens, so how do we manage it? And we're all forced to manage it, one way or another. And we have our go-to ways of managing conflict, either that we've inherited, maybe our parents did it this way, or maybe it fits our personality. But it's good to help a couple that wants to get engaged, that wants to get married. It's helpful to have them think about how they typically manage conflict. Because there'll be some conflict in how, the different ways that one may manage the conflict different than someone else. So one way of managing conflict is the Eskimo style. Eskimos are native to Alaska here in the United States, and it's very cold in Alaska, a lot of snow. So the Eskimo style is the silent treatment, the cold treatment. So people that engage this style of conflict management, when there's a conflict, they just stop talking. So instead of talking out the problem and solving the problem, we're not going to talk about it. If you're going to bring into conflict into our relationship, I'm going to shut down. Well, you can see that's not a great way to manage conflict. I mean, I guess you stop the argument, but it doesn't solve the conflict. Or the cowboy style. Back in the 1800s, at least in the United States, we had this cowboy culture where everyone had a gun and everyone's shooting the gun. At least that's the way the Hollywood movies portrayed it. And some people manage their conflict that way. They shoot first and ask questions later. They jump to conclusions. They get mad right away. They assume that they're right. They just put whatever the conflict is, they say whatever they feel, and they just throw it out there. They just like a gun shooting everywhere, and they don't care who gets hurt. So when people are frustrated, those with the cowboy management style just let it all out, and people get hurt all around them. Then there's the lawyer style of conflict management. I'm kind of that way. That's my natural go-to. In a conflict, I go into lawyer mode because I'm a very logical person. So, if I'm sitting with my wife and we have a issue that comes up, I'm like a lawyer. I'm asking questions. If she says something, I have four things I can say against what she just said. I can be very intimidating. And she's not a lawyer type person, so she's more the Eskimo thing. So I start, saying all kinds of arguments, making my point one after another, and I'm very quick at it. I don't have to sit and think about it. The answers come really fast. Well, then she goes into Eskimo mode. How can she compete with that? She's not a lawyer type. She needs time to think about these things. But I'm not giving her time. I'm a lawyer. Like, I have her on the stand here. Okay, what do you say about this? So she retreats. So the lawyer thing, though you're being logical as can be, is not always that effective. Then there's the dictator style of conflict management. We don't have a conflict, man. We don't have a conflict here. Let's just do it my way. It's a person that just, takes over, is large and in charge, and they just, we're going to do it my way. So it's good to have a couple to discuss this. What styles of management conflict do we have going on in our relationship? There might be a combination of some of these things. You tend to go Eskimo when this happens. You tend to be a lawyer, or you're a dictator, or you're a cowboy. And, it's good for a couple to start thinking about these things. Then there's the fugitive style, sort of like the Eskimo style, but it's where you literally walk out. The conflict starts, the argument starts, and one just leaves. They get in the car and go. They can't deal with it. So which of these styles fits, this one or fits that one? Or maybe they have a combination of these styles in their relationship. Okay, let's look at the habitual communication times. The truth is, a lot of our lives are dictated by the habits that we have in our life, the things that we always do. And as a couple is engaged, they don't have all the habits down because they're not living together yet. So and right now they have certain habits, but as they go forward in their marriage, they're going to acquire new habits. So just want to go over with the couple some of the basic places where there can be this connection. Because without a habit of connection, you can't have much of a relationship. If you let connections just happen whenever they happen, soon you won't have a relationship. And that's true about any relationship. All right, so you get married. One possible habitual connection point is breakfast. You get up at the same time, you have breakfast together, and you connect. Lunch, some people are able to do that. A lot of people go to different places to work, and so they can't do the lunch thing together. But then maybe after work, that you always have dinner together. See, it's establishing habits where you're actually together. Without that, relationships fall apart. Date night. When you're dating, maybe you don't need that because you're motivated to be together. But in a marriage relationship, you actually have to carve out time together. And if you don't, you won't have time together. A shared work. What kinds of things can you work at together? Painting the house, doing some the yard work, whatever it might be that you can do together. Shared hobbies. It's so important to have fun things that you do together. Church. Church is one of those things that a couple can do together. You sit together, you sing together, you hold hands while you're singing, you pray together, you're listening to the word together. So important to do these things together. Bible study groups, sports, if you have some sport that you can do together, maximizing these habitual times that bring you together. Finally, bedtime. A lot of couples, because you marry your opposite sometimes, and one wants to go to bed late, one wants to go to bed early, but you're missing some time, some precious time that you could have together. Time to communicate. If you don't have these habitual times where you communicate throughout your day, throughout your week, then you're more likely to end up communicating when there's a problem, when there's a conflict. And then your relationship is defined by all of these conflicts. So we'll end this session here, but we're going to continue this connection on how we are connected verbally.